Here's the fact that I've learned over the years, and that if, in fact, we'll probably find out this morning, most people who make a decision to embrace the truths of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, not of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but the truths of Scripture that you and I hold to as Seventh-day Adventists, most of them make their decision because of the influence of a friend. How many of you are here this morning because you made friends with someone before your baptism who was a Seventh-day Adventist? Okay. How many of you didn't know a single person who was a Seventh-day Adventist before your baptism? Sort of. Okay, no, okay. So a couple of you. So it's clearly the predominant reality is if they're your friends, they're more likely to embrace your faith than if they're not your friends. Now, some people, Tim and others, are the Lord is bringing. There's a couple out in Pratt that I just did a Bible study with again last night. You've met them. Some of you have met them. They're in Pratt. That's hard for them to come here, or they'd be here every Sabbath. But they got something in the mail and came here first. And so they came to church before ever meeting a Seventh-day Adventist. So that happens. But that's not the most common. That's not the most common occurrence. So I want to appeal to you. In fact, as we've looked at our advertising results in Wichita, the health events, Bible study events, Bible prophecy events, whatever it is, we have noticed a dramatic decline in response. So what does that mean? It means that you and I cannot depend on advertising for the spread of the gospel. The most effective advertising, period, and especially for the gospel, is the age-old advertising envisioned in the Great Commission of individuals going to their friends and sharing the faith. That's the most effective, always has been, but especially today. It is the one remaining consistently powerful tool of witness, and that is your witness. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Number two, the most important thing you can do, the two most important things you can do are these. Number one, invite your friends to church. Did you know that that if your friends are coming to church, whether they're taking Bible studies or not, is irrelevant. Once they begin to come to church with you, it's a step of opportunity in their lives for the Holy Spirit to take them to a new level. The most important thing, really, truly, that you can do, aside from Bible studies and everything else, the most important thing you can do is invite your friends to church and encourage them and bring them. That's the most important thing you can do. If you do just that, it will make a huge difference. Right? How many of you were attending the Seventh-day Adventist Church before you were baptized? Yeah. That's how many baptisms begin, is by coming. Begin, bring your friends to church. If you don't do anything else, bring them to church. If you don't do anything else, do what? Bring them to church. And you might say, but our church, you know, sometimes we have this concern. Some people feel like, you know, this church is just not that friendly. I don't know if you feel that way. Some people have felt that way. Some people don't feel that way. So I know there's a mixed response here. But here's the deal. You make the church friendly. You be the friend on the face of the church. And if you and I will be that friendly face, then maybe there are a few unkind faces here. I don't know who's coming every week. But if those of us who think about this, and maybe all of us can think about this, that would be great. You be the friendly face that they'll meet, and that eliminates one person by one person the unfriendly faces they'll meet. So make sure you're out of that unfriendly equation, that you're the friendly face. And if you're afraid that they'll meet an unfriendly face, then gather all the friendly faces that you know around and make that the group that they meet when they come in the doors. So you can address the unfriendly concept if you just take it on yourself to make sure that you create a friendly presence where you have influence. Number two, I think this is very important. I was in church, in previous church, we'll just leave it at that. I guess it's Michigan because that's only where I've been. I was at a previous church, and this gentleman had a great burden to teach, to give a series of meetings on prophecy. He actually was an older gentleman and died a year or two or three later, not too long after he passed away. So he was an older gentleman. But he had a burden. He had wanted for a long time to give a series of meetings, and he had wanted to use his own notes. And I was open to that. I'm not as open now as I was then, but I was open to that. And so he gave this series of meetings, and he did not do a good job. It was bad enough that I had to finally tell him, listen, if you're going to keep going, you have to use these pre-made notes. And so he said, okay, I'll use the pre-made notes. So he used the pre-made notes. It took him probably half the time of an average preacher to go through them. As a result of those meetings, one couple was baptized. They were followed up on. Some follow-up was needed, and we did Bible studies with them, but they were baptized. It taught me a huge lesson. Number one, it's important for the pastor to make sure that the meetings are done well. But number two, it's not as important as I thought it was. God works with people who are willing to be used. So it's not as important that you have like lots of experience. It's important that you're willing to learn and willing to be used. That's what's important. The pastor might have something to say. You know, you do need to change some things. But don't not work. Someone else might have something to say too, for that matter. But don't withhold your witness because you're afraid of your skills. We're going to look at Matthew before we, at some point a little later, which reminds us of that. So that story brings me so first thing was, invite your friends to church, right? And I said, what if it's not a friendly church? That's an easy answer. You make it a friendly church by creating a group of friends that you can make the front of the church. You can create the atmosphere that they walk into. But number two, and that's where this story was going, number two, that couple that came to the meetings, would I have invited them to come to the meetings? Probably not. Especially after the first night. But do I have the right to make that? Would I have had the right to make the decision for them? Would that have been fair for me to say, you know, I'm not going to invite them because this guy's just doing an awful job? Would that have been fair? No. So we need to be very careful that we don't stand in God's way. Invite your friend to church. If they come, let the Holy Spirit. You do whatever you need to do to make this a friendly place, to be a good friend. But allow the Holy Spirit and them to make the decision if this is a place they want to come. Don't be so audacious as to think you have the right to make that decision for them. I think that's an important thing to remember. You do the witnessing, you do the inviting, and let the Holy Spirit do His part. Don't stand in the way of discouraging someone that the Holy Spirit may be setting up for this very moment. So those are two things I wanted to address on inviting your friends to church. And then, of course, invite your friends to the meetings. Those are the two most important things you can do. Invite them to church, invite them to the meetings. And then I want to talk about number three, some resources that we have available. Can you go to our website and put it up there on the screen? And just a couple of resources. We're just going to go to the home page, and then I'll have him show you a link on the home page. Thank you for doing that. This is a web portal. We're going to have two things coming next month. We're going to have resources for your witness. Some at some point, an educational video, a little introduction on how to witness, just like 10 keys to being a good witness. Just really simple basics. And it'll be pieces on how to give a Bible study and things. It's probably going to be 15, maybe 30 minutes, and that'll be all you need to get started. And so that'll be on the website. There'll also be some other resources that you can use as you consider giving a Bible study or witnessing that'll be on the website. And so there's our, by the way, that's the countdown. So if you want to know how many days till the meetings begin, you can go to our website. And it's exactly 231 days and 7 hours from now, and 9 minutes and 58 seconds, 8 minutes and 57 seconds, to when the meetings begin. So the countdown clock is on the website. If you would scroll down just a little bit and a little bit more. So soul winning, if you click on the link with the megaphone on it, you don't need to click because there's not much there. If you click on that link next month, there will be some more resources that you can use in your personal witness for being just a witness that will help you sort of get the jitters out and take the first step. That will be there. We're also working on a website called mylightinthedarkness.com. It's not up. It's not even our website yet, but I might get that tonight before we lose it. And that will be a portal for inviting your friends to start online Bible studies. We're going to sign up with the Discover Bible School, and they can click right on that page. That will be our page. All of those folks who click on that page will be coming to us. So that online Bible school will be run by the church here, and so we will have personal contact with everyone who joins that Bible, who signs up. So that will be on all of our glow tracts, anywhere we can put it, it will be there. And so you can invite your friends to mylightinthedarkness.com to sign up for Bible studies. There'll be a link where they can click and ask for personal Bible study or group Bible study. So those options will be there. We'll also have some links where if you want to have a group Bible study in your home, but you don't have anyone to lead it and you're terrified of doing it yourself, where you can invite your friends to simply come and watch a video. And you'll watch the video together, pray together, and then invite them to come back the next week. So simple things like that. Those resources will be available on the website, and you can send your friends to mylightinthedarkness.com in February, not this month, but in February, and they can sign up for Bible studies. They can also submit a question, and those questions will be answered. Theological questions. We'll answer every question they submit. We just may answer some of them, go see your doctor or something like that. But that'll be available. There will also probably be live chat times available where folks can come and know that someone live will be available to chat. So that's going to be available. And okay, that's the web. The second thing I want to encourage you to remember is prayer time. We have prayer time, 8:30, 8:45-ish. To about 9:15 every Sabbath morning, there's a prayer group right here on this rug. I would invite you to join us in praying, not only for our congregation, but for the upcoming meetings. Call your friends together. Wherever you have opportunity, pray together. Ask God to bless whatever you want to pray about. But remember in your prayer time to ask God to guide you as a friend in making friends for the kingdom, and to bless your witness, and to guide us as we prepare for the meetings coming this fall. Now I want to hand out to you a bookmark, and there's 110 of these, so I'm hoping that will cover it. Can I have a couple of deacons here? I'm going to keep one, and then if you would just make sure everyone has one. I want to ask you to plan on, there's room for 5 friends, and if you want to add more, you can add them to the back. But I want you to prayerfully, and in fact, I want you to start doing it right now, to prayerfully add 5 friends to this list that you're going to be praying for with your in your personal prayer time, in your group prayer time, in your Sabbath school prayer time, in whatever prayer opportunity you have, that you're going to be praying for these 5 people and how you can be a witness and for God to bring them to a knowledge of His last day truth. And so just five people, I would encourage you to do 5. You can do more if you really, really want to, but 5 is a great number to focus on. So start putting those down. Put those 5 people down. There's a pencil in front of you, maybe a pen in your pocket or in your purse. Add those 5 people to this list, and don't take a long time to decide who should go on here. Just put them down. If someone else comes to mind later, you can add them. But the most important thing is for you to add them and begin praying now for God to work in their life. So go ahead and do that. You can listen while you're writing those down. And so these 5 people that you're praying, you're going to begin to pray for them to come to church or to the meetings, they need to be invited an average of 5 to 6 times. Right? Your friend invites you to go to a concert, and it's 3 months from now. If they invite you once, unless it's a concert that you really, 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 really don't want to miss the first time they mention it, you will probably forget about it. But if they ask you 5 or 6 times, you'll probably be in the car with them going to the concert or sitting next to them with tickets to the concert, okay? So that invitation, the inviting them multiple times demonstrates your interest in them coming. It also demonstrates you think this is an important event, and it pushes this event above the noise of everyday life. So wanting to ask, maybe they do want to go and they hear it the first time, but it's very easy for the noise of life to drown out that initial invitation. So if you keep bringing it to their attention, not as a bothersome person, but just keep bringing it to their attention, that pushes it above the noise of life and helps it to become an important event. And so make sure, if you don't have a bookmark, raise your hand. And okay, there's some here. If you don't get a bookmark, then there's a blue card in front of you. Pull that blue card out and make it your bookmark. And there will be more bookmarks Here's another bookmark here that you can use, Tim. Okay, looks like we might get enough. There's one more. There's one way over there. Richard needs one. Okay, I think we're covered. So any extras, put them on the round table if you would, deacons. We're going to help you do these 5 to 6 invitations. We're going to print a business card that has the meeting, upcoming meeting events, and then some little useful information on the back. We're also going to print a refrigerator magnet that has the upcoming events and some useful information on it, like maybe some basic keys to Bible prophecy right on that magnet. Something useful, maybe 30 days of Bible promises, something useful that will draw the person with the magnet to go back to it. You know how it is if there's a magnet with a calendar in your refrigerator? You go back, right? Because you want to see, oh, what day is it? So we're going to do something to the magnet to make it a go-to place on the refrigerator. Then we're also going to have a bookmark that you can give your friends that will work great for readers or anybody that they can put in their books, a nice, beautiful bookmark, but that will have the invitation and the date on it. That makes 3 opportunities to invite. We're also going to do a postcard closer to the meetings that you can give your friends with a little more detail about the first few upcoming nights. And then you will also have the flyer. That makes 5 physical invitation opportunities for you to say, hey, I asked you a few weeks ago if you'd like to go. My church just gave me this great little magnet for your fridge. Put this up, and that'll help you remember that this great prophecy series is coming in the fall. So we're looking at creating at least 5 opportunities that you can use, and we'll be making them available over time as the meetings get closer. They'll become available. And the first one, of course, will be the business card. That will have our mylightinthedarkness.com, so they can start Bible studies right away if they want to. And that website will also have the countdown to the meetings on it. So as the days click off, when they go there, they can be reminded of how soon the meetings are. Okay. The point is, you are God's most important human link between the message of Scripture and your friends. You are the most important link. So I want you to be an effective link. That's what my encouragement is this morning. Let's go to Matthew 8:28. Matthew chapter 28, and I want you to go with me to verse 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, 19. Yeah, you've heard this text. What's the first word of Matthew 28, 19? Go. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. So who is the command go given to? Us. It's given to you. It's given to me, right? That instruction's given to me. So as a believer, am I exempt? Do I have a go exemption, like a tax exemption? Do I have a go exemption? I have 2 kids and a wife. That gives me 3 exemptions from this go command, right? I have a job, and it keeps me busy during the week. So that makes 4 exemptions for me for this go command, right? You're supposed to say no, right, wrong. It doesn't matter how busy you are, when it comes to the command to go, you have no exemptions. There was a lady that prayed last night at the prayer and was asking for wisdom to witness in her workplace. The only problem is her workplace is not a workplace where open witness is an option, where proselytization is an option. You can talk about your faith, but you can't actively witness for your faith in the sense of inviting or sharing. You have to wait for opportunities. And I was impressed with this reality that God is not restricted by company policy. You might be restricted, but God is not restricted. The Holy Spirit doesn't obey no trespassing signs. He doesn't obey no proselytizing instructions at work. You need to respect them, yes. But God does not need to respect them. So you live your life. If you live connected to God in the morning and say, God, use me today, the Holy Spirit can cross those lines anytime He wants to. He can open up opportunities that you may have the freedom to share in. So just because you're limited and you need to respect your employer's instructions, it doesn't mean the God that you serve is limited. So ask God to use you as a witness that day. He understands your limitations. The angels are not limited. So know that even if you're in a limiting environment for you, you are not in a limiting environment for God. He can work through your witness in spite of the fact that you can't open your mouth when you'd like to. He can open it in their minds and hearts. And that's why we want to go back to verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them and said, all, and what does the King James say? All power is given to me, where? In heaven and on earth. Don't forget that in our witness. The most important piece besides our decision to be with God, to be surrendered, to walk with Him, the most important power is the Holy Spirit's power. You need supernatural power in your witness. You need supernatural power all around you. In fact, let's review our memory verse, because this takes us to this important concept of connecting with power so that my life is infused and surrounded with the power of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, and the supernatural power of angels. You literally can walk into work and bring with you supernatural power. That's what you and I need to do. Wherever we go, we should literally have supernatural power with us. That as we come into people's circle, they say, man, something's different about that guy. There's this, and they'll probably call it an aura. There's this aura around them. Now, we know we don't believe in that kind of garbage. But there will be this presence around you, this holy, powerful presence, that as you spend time in your quiet time with God, they'll say about you what they said about the disciples. These men are different. They've been with Jesus. And even though you can't open your mouth at work, there is no one who can restrict the presence of angels, the presence of the Holy Spirit, from emanating from your life. So as you're connected to Christ, you literally bring with you supernatural power. And that power is going to be felt by every single person that you come in contact with. So, our memory verse should be available on the screen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and you'll understand why we're doing this. The strange language is just English, first letter of every word. And we're going to start with verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, what's the first word of the next verse? Verse 3, blessed. And that's when the Beatitudes begin. Let's review the Beatitudes, because we're talking about power in witness, and I want to call you to the Beatitudes. That's our quiz for today, is the Beatitudes. And this steps we talked about last week are the steps, the building blocks in your life for having a life full of God's power. So I just wanted to review those this morning. And Matthew, so what is the first Beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit, which means the most important first step in the Christian life is in human life getting to know God, is recognizing my spiritual poverty. Did any of you work on the reading this week, last week? Good. I would encourage you to pick up the In Focus. If you didn't do it last week, give it a shot this week. And it focuses only on that single beatitude. You'll be surprised that you can spend 6-7 days on one single beatitude. And so that's their instructions for Sunday morning through Sabbath morning on the In Focus. And I would encourage you to take your time and let the Holy Spirit take you on a journey of coming more clearly in contact with your need and the great wonder of the Savior we have. Beatitude number 2. What is that one? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall what? As God leads your heart to repentance, He will give you the comfort of forgiveness. Beatitude number 3. Blessed are the meek. As you're broken by the work of God in your life, you'll be humble. And then number four, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. As you realize your brokenness and emptiness, you'll cry out to be filled with divine power. And here's where the witnessing part comes in. As you're filled, Beatitude number five says you'll do what? Blessed are the merciful. You will be a channel of blessing to everyone around you as you take time in your quiet time, in your own life, to be connected from brokenness to crying for infilling. You'll be a channel during interactions with others of abundant mercy. And then number six, blessed are the pure in heart. Holy lives are built in quiet time with God that is exposed to others through acts of mercy. That journey leads to a life of purity. And the pure in heart, number seven, says, blessed are the peacemakers. As your life is purified by the work of Christ, you help others make their peace with God. Another witnessing part. You see how these two, mercy, and that's five and seven, peacemakers, are both connected to witness. And then number eight, effective witnesses for God, the Bible says, shall suffer persecution. So yes, you're on a collision course with Satan, but you're on that course with the power of God, following the footsteps of every faithful person ever to live in history. And you have the assurance. Psalms 91 says, he who abides under the shadow of the Almighty will be protected, kept safe, preserved, and ultimately have a great reward that you and I can never really appreciate until we see it. Hope you're writing down those friends. If you haven't already, write down those friends. We're going to wrap up with 10 suggestions for witnessing. I've talked about some. Well, let's review. These are 10 ideas for witnessing. Number one, beg the question. Live your life in such a way that the people around you want to know, why are you so happy? Why do you have such peace when life is treating you so rottenly? Why do you have such good answers to challenging questions? So live a life that's like salt to the horse that leads them to water. You can't make a horse drink, but you can make a horse thirsty. So live a life that creates a thirst opportunity, and then live in such a way that when that thirst is awakened, you'll be ready for God to use you to answer those questions. Number two, share a daily devotional message, maybe by email or Facebook or Twitter or whatever. You can do it on Google+, whatever network you use. If you're in a social network, consider taking the opportunity to share a brief devotional every day. That's one more opportunity. Number three, read the Bible or another piece of obvious religious material in public places. On your break, instead of going to the back room, sit right there at the break table and open your Bible. If you're at a bus stop, open your Bible while you're waiting for the bus. It's good for you, and it creates an opportunity for witness. Maybe on a break at your desk at work. If you don't need to, you obviously don't need to go out and take a smoke. So sit at your desk, open your Bible. Let that moment, you're not saying anything, you're not telling them to read the Bible, but your witness is creating opportunity. They at least know if they have a Bible question in the future, they know the person in the office they can ask. I saw someone at the hospital the other day reading their Bible, and then I saw someone else listening to their Bible or a sermon about the Bible, and just obvious there. And so then number four, give copies of literature to others. If it's a birthday or Christmas, consider giving a nice piece of Christian literature to them, even a Bible. You don't know how many people don't have ready access to a Bible. If you know they don't have a Bible, consider giving them a nice Bible for a birthday or Christmas or some other book. Gave a family for, some of you have given books this holiday, but we gave a Desire of Ages to some friends, a nice hardback Desire of Ages. And so consider using giving opportunities as an opportunity to give something that would encourage faith and share faith. Use the glow tract out in the hallway. There's all kinds of opportunities to do that. We have all kinds of literature. Share those at opportune times with your friends. Number five, include a favorite Bible verse at the end of your email. So everyone who reads it is encouraged to think about God and knows that you're a person with faith in Christ. So they may not care the first time they read it, but there may come a time when they have a question, and that will mean that the Holy Spirit can bring that little piece in the email to mind, and they can come back to you with questions. Number six is really, really important. Ask permission to witness. Consider it when you're on a walk with a friend. You might say something like, you know, God has been working in my life so much. Do you mind if I share? That's an important little piece. When we go in to visit patients, we introduce ourselves as a member of, as a chaplain, and that we're there for the spiritual care of the patient. But the next question is, do you mind if we visit? So respect others' wish. We have no answers sometimes. Respect that. But when they give the opportunity, you know that's a green light. And so carefully use that opportunity to share of your faith. Another idea is tell others Jesus loves them. You might put that in a greeting card. You might take a random stack of 10 cards, Christian cards of some kind, and write a little message of God's love and just send it out. And the Bible says to spread your bread on many waters because you don't know what's going to come back. You might consider putting a little tract in your correspondence, maybe business correspondence, if that's appropriate, paying your bills, etc. You can use that as witnessing opportunities. Or a little note on your bill that says, hey, I prayed for you today as I wrote this bill. Just some way of consistently communicating that you're a believer, that you care about others, and that you have an interest in inviting them to the experience of knowing God that you have. Number eight, hand out information. Mentioned that in the glow tracts, but consider inviting people to the website, which will be up in February. And another idea is Craigslist. We watched a video, my wife and I watched a video called Veducated. It's a great video if you haven't watched it. And we watched Veducated. It all started with a young lady who was a vegan in New York who said, I want to find out if normal people, average people, will consider a vegan diet for 6 weeks. She got her test group from Craigslist. So you might put a note on Craigslist. Looking for people who want to study prophecy, because I want to start a prophecy study group. You might have more people than you expect. Say, hey, I'll study prophecy, or, you know, just be creative. So Craigslist is a great opportunity. You have to be careful. This is obviously social media, and you don't always get what you're asking for, but it's a potential opportunity to connect. So if someone can use it to find out if people will try a vegan diet for 6 weeks, maybe you can use it to find folks who are interested in studying prophecy with you. And remember, the fifth beatitude is show mercy, right? So number nine is offer kindness to others. You can do that by, someone did it to us at Dillon's. We were paying for our groceries around the Christmas season last year, not this year, but not 2013, 2012, but 2011. And they paid for our groceries. We didn't know who it was. They gave it to the little person who attends the self-checkouts. And they came up to us and said, hey, someone just told me to pay for your groceries. So maybe it was one of you, thank you if it was, but we don't know who it was. So to us, it was a complete stranger. And so we didn't know, but it was an act of kindness. So consider ways you can show acts of kindness to someone around you. You can give things to someone, give light bulbs to your neighbors. There's lots of ways, just rack your mind. Any way that you can show kindness helps to allow Christ's love to show through you. And you can do things at our church. We're organizing our community services, looking at doing some work with the community. Be involved in that. Look for any way you can, whether it's something that we do as a church, we provide for as a church, or something you initiate on your own. Show kindness to others. And then finally, you might want to wear your faith. There are some good religious t-shirts that you might consider wearing. There, you might even put a lapel pin on if you have dress clothes. You might, there's tactful ways of displaying your faith. There are very untactful ways, you've seen those. So use good judgment, but there may be opportunities to tactfully wear your faith, and that may lead to obvious opportunities to share. And just 10 different ways that you might consider being a witness as we're approaching the coming of Jesus, and as we're seeking to do our part to be ready, and by inviting our friends and things to the meetings in September. Well, I hope those ideas are helpful, and you can certainly brainstorm and think of many ideas on your own. so will you pray for those five people or six people on your card? You want to raise your hand if that's what you want to do? Pray for those people. Will you invite them? Raise your hand if you invite them. I see that's afraid to raise hands here. Nobody's here to get you in trouble. Amen. Let's pray. Father, hands went up, said we're going to pray for these five people. Some hands didn't go up, but I know they have people in their life that they're concerned about. So I ask you to be with each of us as we pray for these men and women, as we invite them. I ask that you would lay a burden on our heart for the people around us, that we would be very aware that the destiny of every person around us may be determined by our own witness. And I pray that our witness would be the kind of witness that will tell for eternal blessing to every person that we encounter. And I just want to ask, Father, that you would teach us how to connect with you every day so that we can be filled with supernatural power, so that angels attend us wherever we go, so that as we encounter people, they will literally sense that there is supernatural presence. The supernatural presence of heaven is with us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing an old